So the church, a body with many parts. In the passage that precedes our reading, Paul describes the many different gifts that God gives to his children. He says that there are different ways of serving our Lord, different abilities to perform service. For instance, one has the gift of wisdom, others the gift of knowledge, and some the gift of healing or working miracles, and yet others the gifts of speaking of God's message. You know, every week in this church, someone in the congregation gives out the hymn books, makes the coffee, cleans the floor, banks the money, operates the microphones and PowerPoint, writes letters, plays the organ, reads some scripture, leads the young people, books preachers, and so on. We use our God-given gifts to serve God and one another. And Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, shows how each gift is like a part of the body. And he encourages the need for unity, the need to live for one another. Now, some people suggest, don't they, that being a Christian is an individual thing. And of course it is true that each of us has to make up our own minds as to whether to follow Jesus, to accept him as our friend, as our saviour. But is it better to be part of a church or to remain a lone believer, a lone Christian? Well, Paul leaves us in no doubt of the benefits of being part of the church. But Paul is honest, isn't he? Because while he stresses the joys of being part of the body of the church, he also mentions some of the dangers. Dangers that come when there is no unity in a church's response to the Spirit in the way that God intends. So let us first look at three joys. The joy of being accepted. Now, I think we all feel the need to be accepted, don't we? The need to be connected. And most of us are, of course, through marriage, family, or through other close relationships. We all need people to laugh and cry and talk and to interact with. And without such relationships, we're not strengthened and others are not blessed by our giving. And so that's why Paul encourages us to reach out and touch somebody. Now, as the body of Christ, we are a community that has been drawn together by the Holy Spirit. And it's a community in which distinctions of race and clan, gender, no longer have validity. It's an inclusive community. And this then should surely make the church positively different from practically any other organisation. And then there's the joy of sharing success and hardship. Now, if a church is united and takes joy in the presence of the Holy Spirit, then practical differences which will improve people's lives follows. For instance, if one person enjoys success, then that brings happiness to all. You know, so often in life, the success of others results in resentfulness. People become agitated and annoyed because others are doing better. And then on the other hand, of course, when someone's going through difficulties or sadness, these are eased because the church, the community, the whole body rallies to share that hardship. Now, in life, people are often embarrassed, aren't they, by the person who is suffering. And they perhaps cross the road to avoid the person, if at all possible. And so the body shares the good and bad experiences of its members. We're all old enough, I think, probably, to have banged our thumb with a hammer. Well, you will know that the thumb doesn't suffer alone, does it? No, the whole body will be aware of the pain. And until it's dealt with, attention to other matters has to wait. Now, within the church, we all need each other. We are the body of Christ, and we are bound up together with him and with one another. And that is a wonderful relationship. And thirdly, there is the joy of complementing each other. And again, another item that I've adopted from the World for Today devotional booklet. Some of you will remember the entertainer Jimmy Durante. Well, once he was apparently asked to do a show for the World War II veterans, but unfortunately he was very busy, but he did agree to do just a very short monologue prior to his next appointment, and so he could only stay for 4 or 5 minutes. Well, the day of the performance arrived, Jimmy got on stage and he did his short monologue. But instead of departing quickly, he stopped for over 30 minutes. And when he eventually got backstage, he was asked why he remained on stage much longer than agreed. And Jimmy answers, he said, "Well, just look for yourself. Look for yourself." And on the front row were two veterans. They had both lost an arm in the war. One his right arm, the other his left. Together, they were able to clap loudly and cheerfully, and that's what they were doing. And isn't that a picture of what happens in church? The many parts make up one body, but they do so only when they pull together. And the benefits of the church, the body of Christ, are there for all to enjoy. It's by sharing our gifts and talents and our lives that something good can be let loose in our neighbourhood, our town, our country and our world. But Paul also said there were dangers of belonging to a church. Again, we look at three of them. The danger of low self-esteem. And just briefly, you know, in some churches, there appears to be a climate of insecurity, or a climate in which only perfection seems good enough. You know, an atmosphere like that can make people underestimate their own worth and so lack the confidence to use the gifts that God has given them. Well, if you're lacking in self-confidence, for whatever reason, let me reassure you that a wrong estimation of yourselves doesn't alter the situation. You are still fully part of the body, because it's God who has made us what we are. You will, I'm sure, think of other illustrations of church life where it can cause people to have low self-esteem. And the second danger is pride. Pride causes trouble between people, and it stirs up rivalry, doesn't it? There is pride in wealth and in birth, and we might call that snobbery. There's pride in place and prestige, and we might call that seeking a status symbol. And there's pride in goodness, which is self-righteousness. And the Bible is full of warnings against pride. If we're proud, we can't accept rebuke or advice or criticism. And if that's so, we are bound to make mistakes. If we're proud, we can't learn, because in order to know, we have to admit that we do not know. And if we are proud, we can't cooperate, and we can't serve, and we can't therefore be useful members of society. But worse, we can't really ever live the Christian life. Now, pride can lead to arguments, can't it? Such as, who is the most important and who has the most important job? I don't know who you think is the most important, a world leader or a refuse collector. Well, I understand that when the President of the United States of America, Ronald Reagan, was shot in 1981, it was business as usual for America. But when the refuse collectors in Philadelphia went on strike, the rubbish built up and up everywhere, and the city was in chaos. As Christians, let us remember that it is God who has arranged the parts just where he wants them. And in his church, everyone is important and everyone has a place. Each one of us has gifts to offer. So never underestimate your significance. Parts that seem unimportant are so often the most necessary. And the third danger, division. Disagreement over spiritual gifts. You know, that can't be God's will, can it? But how ironic then that they seem to cause more disunity and splits than almost anything else. Oh, should women be bishops? Should they preach in church? You could add to the list. And when such disagreements take place, the result is that those inside the church are hurt and those on the outside are bewildered. I don't know whether you've ever thought of putting a cat and a dog in a cage together just to see how they get along. Apparently Mark Twain went further than just joking about the idea. He did it, and he found that they got on very well. So he added a bird. Great. Then a pig. Fine. And then he added a goat. And all was fine. Until he included a Catholic, a Baptist, and a Methodist. Soon there was nothing left that was living. But you see, on a more serious note, Satan gets much satisfaction out of causing division between Christians, and often the issues are trivial. Remember, before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed for his disciples that they would remain united in their love of God and their love for one another. You see, we can't claim to love God if we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ and our neighbours. And if we're to reach out to a divided and confused world, then we need to be united, loving Christians. And just a few words in conclusion. You know, research suggests that fewer and fewer people are attending churches. And of course, there are many people who call themselves Christians but don't express it by being part of a church. Perhaps they don't see anything to benefit their faith by being part of a group. Now, what's gone wrong? What's gone wrong? Perhaps it's that people see the dangers and not the joys. But what can we as churches, as congregation here, do to make this church a body which outsiders feel they want to belong to. I recall recently reading about someone who had just moved house and they were looking to find a new church to worship in. And they had their list of what they were looking for. Loud music, informality, something out of the ordinary. A month later, they found themselves attending a primarily liturgical service, a more normal church service. There wasn't a drum in sight. And the infrequency of hand clapping made them wonder whether the congregation attended worship with their hands tied behind their backs. So why did they find themselves attending a church that was quite different to the one they set out to worship in? It was simply because of the love and friendship of the ordinary people, not the preachers, the prophets, the healers and the teachers, but the rest of the body. For a true church has many parts. Perhaps the key lesson is that all church members are necessary to the proper functioning of the body. Instead of division in a church, there should be equal concern for one another. The church, a body with many parts. And sometimes I think in our churches we forget. And I say this, here at Christ Church, you are not just part of the church. You are the church. You represent Christ. You make up his one body. Amen.